Let's go from the Mishnah again. Daf Tes Zayin on Beis. Rochatz, Laila, Horishoin, Shemeso, Ishtoi. Rav Gamliel bathed himself on the first night following his wife's Petira, which was a very big Kiddush. His Talmidim initially did not understand that. Omruloi Talmidov. So his disciple said to him, Limadatenu Rabbeinu, Limadatonu Rabbeinu. Surely you, our Rebbe, taught us Sha'ovel osa lirchitz, that an oval is osa to bathe. So why are you indeed doing just that? Omar lahem, so he said to them, Eini kishar b'nei adam. I'm not like other people, istanis, and he, I'm a very delicate person, and therefore I'm different. So we started a Tosfos. Says Tosfos, istanis ani, ve'ika tsar, and I will be in a lot of distress, imloi hoya roichitz, if he didn't bathe himself. Because the issa to bathe in the days of Avelos is only elomishum tainug, is only if it's done for pleasure reasons. If it's done for purposes of pleasure, then that's what Chazal were talking about, and that's what they asked. Whereas if a person is an istemis and he's doing it to avoid pain or distress, then that's not a rechitza shel tainug, and that's not what Chazal forbade in the first place. And that's why he permitted himself to do so. Says Tosfos, v'gam lochuf roishoy, so too to scrub your head, I isle arbuvio, if you have any lice, for example, crawling around bereshe on his head, would also be shori afilu teich shiva, why? Because again, if you're washing your head because there's lice crawling around, then you're not doing so for pleasure. You're doing in order to avoid pain or extreme discomfort. Says Tosfos, V'chein hiti Rabbeinu Shmuel. So too Rabbeinu Shmuel allowed liyoledes avela. What's the halacha if somebody, a woman gives birth and she's in avelus? So Rabbi Shmuel allowed lirchitz toich shiva, to bathe toich shiva. Why? Because a yeledes, a woman giving birth, following the birth, has the status of a chayla, which means that she is bathing not for pleasure, but rather because she's in pain or discomfort. So once again, that would be permitted during the days of the shiva. The lirchitz nami b'tishavov. And even to bathe on Tisha B'Av would be mutter for a yeledes. Even though on Tisha B'Av essentially there's an issa to bathe, rechitza. But once again, if a yeledes is doing so not for purposes of pleasure, but rather for purposes of allaying distress and tsar, then it would be permitted. The chein mashma nami, says Tosfos, so too, that's the way it's mashma, the mesechtas yuma. Look in the Gemara in Yuma. It says there, mi sheyesh loy chatotin baroishoy, if somebody has chatotin is, I think, either boils or patches or some sort of pain, again, on his head. Soch kadarkoy b'yoyim hakipurim. He's allowed to do sicha. Now, we know on Yom Kippur, one of the five forbidden activities is sicha. Sicha is to smear, for example, oil, which is an act of pleasure, on the guf. If the reason why he's doing so is not for purposes of pleasure, but rather for reasons of, because he has chatotin b'roshoy. By the way, this was a very commonly asked question this year. Can you put on alcohol on your hands on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur? Similar type of shayla. Nobody's putting on alcohol for pleasure. Rather, you're doing it for medical reasons. So therefore, essentially, you'll be mutter, if and when necessary.
Is there a shayla of mamarayach if you're doing sicha?
Only if it's a very thick gel, quite right. If it's like a paste or a gel. But on the liquid type alcohols, there are two types of alcohols, by the way. if it is a more pasty, like soapy type, it should not be done. But on the liquid type, then it's okay. So the Gemara says, Mishiyesh lechatotim b'roishoi, sach kedarkoi. He can do sicha in the normal manner, b'yom kippurim, b'eino choshesh. And he does not have to be concerned, he's not doing anything wrong. Why? Because again, he's not doing so for purposes of pleasure. Afal gav de sicha kashtia b'yom kippurim. Even though the Gemara tells us that sicha is like shtia. Obviously, when we're talking about shemen that you're smearing on your guf, you're not drinking it, but it's considered as if you are. It's another way, as it were, of imbibing this shemen. One way is to drink it, and another way is to smear it such that it gets absorbed in the guf. Either way, sicha is considered as if you are drinking. Well, if that's the case, how can it possibly be mutter on Yom Kippur? The answer is because you're not doing so for pleasure. So we have a number of proofs. They're now stacking up. Rabbeinu Shmuel allowed this and says, Tosfos, that's the implication also in the Gemara in Yuma. The Chayim Mashma B'Yerushalmi. And so too, if you look in the Gemara Yerushalmi, the Gemara in Yerushalmi says the following, and this also seems to imply the same message. What does it say there? It says, Oveil Osar Berechitza. Once again, it says an oval is osa berechitza, that we know. But then the Yerushalmi qualifies it, and it says, Hadar de tema is like bamed dvarim amurim. Hadar de tema. This means to say, berechitza shel tainug. Only if it is a rechitza of tainug, a bathing taken for pleasure. Aval berechitza she'einoi shel tainug, but if the rechitza is not done for tainug, then muta, then the Yerushalmi says it is perfectly permissible, kahador de'itmar, just like that which we have learned, mi she'yesh lo chatotin bereshe, etc. So you see the Yerushalmi says, just like somebody who has chatotin, these boils, all pains on his head, he's allowed to do rechitza. So too, you can do any rechitza which is not done for tainug. So this, by the way, is a whole big discussion. Because if that's really the case, then the question needs to be asked, for example, why is it on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, when we wash our hands in the morning, we only wash up to the knuckles? Nobody is washing hands in the morning for pleasure reasons. Or before davening, you're doing so for halachic reasons. So what would be the difference whether I'm washing for halachic reasons or medical reasons? Either way, it's not a tainug. If I come to shul for Tisha B'Av morning and I wash my hands before davening, I'm not doing so for pleasure. I'm doing so, if you remember, this is a sugya we learned not so long ago, you're supposed to wash your hands for davening. Birkas Koyanim. The Koyanim do Birkas Koyanim, for example, in Yom Kippur. Or Tisha B'Av Mincha, for that matter. So how do they wash their hands? Only up to the knuckles. Why? That's certainly not considered a rechitza shel tainug. They're not washing their hands for pleasure. They're washing because that's what the halacha requires. So it would seem a very big chidush to say that no, you're only allowed to wash your hands if it is because of tsar, pain. It's true, all the examples that we have seen so far are because of pain. Like Rabban Gamliel was an istemis. Somebody's got chatotin, beroshoi, a woman after childbirth, etc., etc. So it's true, all those cases happen to be examples of a chayla. Now, we're not suggesting that a kohen who wants to wash his hands is a chayla. But nonetheless, why should it be limited to chayla if the explanation is because it is only a rechitza shel tainug, which is awesome. And when you're doing it for stress, for chayla reasons, then it is not tainug. So wouldn't we have suggested that the same should apply if you're doing it for halachic reasons as well? which, by the way, is the halacha, if, for example, during the 9 days. Now, we mentioned yesterday, during the 9 days, if somebody's extremely hot in this country, it's a very commonly asked question, in the middle of Chodesh Av, July, August, very, very sticky, etc., etc. So you need to do a minimal wash because you're doing so because you're extremely uncomfortable. Fine. But certainly the halacha says that if a woman needs to go to the mikveh and prepare herself, then she's allowed to wash herself fully. Now there, you're not doing it because of choili, she's not ill, but rather, why is it mutar? Because again, she's not doing it for ta'inug. She's not doing it for pleasure reasons, she's doing it for halachic reasons. So why do we all wash our hands on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur only until our knuckles? That's also not a rechitza shel ta'inug. It's a difficult question and it needs a good answer, not for discussion now. But either way, that does seem to be a important halachic principle. And as I mentioned, many rabbonim discussed this now when it came to Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur with regard to alcohol, and a common consensus was that the alcohol, if it's taken for medical reasons, then it is permissible even on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Okay, back into our Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Okashameis Tovi Avdoi.
Rabbi, one question regarding istinus.
Yeah.
How far can that be taken? Does it override Shabbos?
No. As we'll see in the Gemara, it's only because it's drabanan. Let's have a look. The Gemara is going to discuss this. Okay, Shemeis Tavi Avdoi. We're still talking about Rabbi Gamliel over here. When Tavi, his slave, now we know the slave, an Eved is a goy. An Eved generally has a very, very bizarre status. Why does he have a bizarre status? We're not, by the way, talking about an Eved Ivri over here. We're talking about an Eved Kanani. Now, why does he have a bizarre status? Because when you purchased him, he was a fully fledged goy. If ever you release him, he becomes a fully fledged Jew. And what about in the interim whilst he's working for me? So he seems to have some quasi-status or quasi-status. What is that? That he's obligated to keep the mitzvahs of an isha. Very, very, very interesting halacha. What is he exactly? Is he a half Jew? There's no such concept. You're either Jewish or not. So he obviously is not fully Jewish, because then he'd be mechuyev all the mitzvahs. But he can't be a fully fledged goy, because then he shouldn't have the mitzvahs of an isha either. So it's a very, very strange parasha, the whole parasha of the Eved. But the bottom line is, he's considered a goy. So now, ukashameis tavi avdoi, when Tavi, the slave of Rabbi Gamliel, died, kibel olav tanchumim. He was happy to be makabel from his talmidim, tanchumim, words of comfort, just like one would be menachem and ovel, rachman and etzlan, over the loss of a close family member. So too, they offered tanchumim, they were menachem, Rabbi Gamliel, following the death of his slave, Tavi. Clearly, he was very attached to him, and he held him in high esteem, and he was makabel tanchumim. So why is that a problem? Says the Mishnah, Omru lo Talmidov. So once again, his Talmidim challenged him. Limadatenu Rabbeinu, didn't our Rebbe, meaning didn't you teach us, She'ein Mekablim Tanchumim alo Avodim, that one does not be Mekabel Tanchumim over an Eved. He's a guy at the end of the day. So why are you doing the exact opposite? Omalahem, so he said to them, Ein Tovi Avdi Keshar Kol Avodim. Tavi, my Eved, is not like others. Kosher Hoyo. What does that mean, kosher? Normally, it's assumed that a goy is not kosher, meaning he commits averas, he's a rasha, and therefore there is no reason to be makabel tanchumim over him. But he says, I can vouch for my slave Toby that he was kosher, albeit he was a goy. It's true, he was not claiming he was a Jew. He was a goy, but he was kosher. He was indeed pious, he was righteous. And therefore one can be makabel tanchumin over an eved like that, says Rabbi Gamliel, and that's why I did so. We'll see more about it in the Gemara. Finally, chosen. We said in the previous Mishnah that a chosen is exempt from Kriya Shema on the night of the chasna. Why? Because he's oisuk or he's torud the mitzvah. Im writes a likreis Kriya Shema laila harisha in koire. If he wants to, he can. It's an exemption, but it's not a prohibition. There's no issa in saying Kriya Shema. If he dafka wants to, then he can, says the Mishnah. However, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel oimer loy kol oroitze litoil es Hashem, comma, yitoil. Literally translated, not everybody who wants to acquire the name. Which name? The name of being a tzaddik or a Talmud Chacham, yitoil, can he take? Not everybody can take the name of a Talmud Chacham. Meaning, if you want to be machmir, to recite Kriya Shema, despite the fact that you're exempt, not everybody is roed to do so. Just because the Mishnah told me that you're allowed to do so, it doesn't mean that every single Tom, Dick, and Harry, as we call them, you're allowed to do so. Now, what's the problem? If there's no issa to say Kriya Shema, and you are volunteering to do so despite being exempted. So what do you mean, low color rates a little? Not everybody who is really up to it should do so. Why not? No issa. You're exempt. You don't have to say Kriya Shema, but you can if you want, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, but not everybody. Not everybody is ro'u for that. What do you mean you're not ro'u? How must you be wrong? What do you have to do to be eligible for this? So it seems to be, we have a principle in halacha and it's called yuhara. Yuhara means gaiva. And this is a very, very difficult, perhaps, area of halacha. We know that there exists thousands and thousands of cases of this is the halacha. If you want to be machmir, then you do, as it were, beyond the letter of the law. Are you mechuyev to be machmir? The answer is obviously not. If you were mechuyev to do it, then it wouldn't be a chumre, it would be halacha. One is mechuyev to keep halacha. One is not mechuyev to be machmir. If you want to be machmir, you can be machmir, you're not mechuyev to. If I see somebody being machmir, I will clearly consider him being a very pious Jew. Look at that, he's going beyond, above and beyond the letter of the law, and I will think very highly of him. In some cases, therefore, that itself is a reason for it to be avoided. You are a gaiva. Not everybody needs to see exactly what level of Yiddishkeit I happen to be holding. My own personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, as I said, it's a difficult to define halacha when we do say this, when we don't say this. But either way, it could be that's what's going on in the Mishnah over here. You're exempt. This is your Leil HaChuppah. Not everybody necessarily should be saying Kriya Shema. Not that it's an issa to do so. But to be machmir, to be stringent, to read Kriya Shema, even though, strictly speaking, there is an exemption, might be considered for some people an issue of gaiva. It's a very big discussion, not for now. I think we have discussed this on other occasions when people say, I might as well be machmir, it doesn't harm. That is not always the case. That's not always the case. Sometimes, for several reasons, a person is ill-advised to be machmir.
It's interesting, in the notes in the Art Scroll Gemara, they say that nowadays, since nobody really concentrates 100% on Shema, that everyone should say it, then in fact, someone who doesn't say it could be construed as having yuara.
Right. Because not to say Kriya Shema means the other way around. I'm such a tzaddik, and it takes such utmost kavana on my part that I can't be mechaven. So that's right. That's the way we paskin, actually. There is a beautiful story, I think quite a famous story, that Pesach Kron tells over when Reb Shalom Shvadron came to stay in his home on Pesach once. Pesach Kron's father passed away at an early age, which means that his mother was a widow. She was running the Seder with all her children and grandchildren, and Reb Shalom Shvadron was there at the Seder night. And you can imagine things were taking a while, a lot of people, and they noticed time was beginning to become short, and it didn't look like they were going to be able to eat the afikoman before Chatzos. As we know, some people have the meaning to do so. So Reb Pesach Kron tried to rush things along because he felt so bad. He was sure that Reb Shalom Shvadron was certainly machmir to have the afikoman before Chatzos. And if everybody is busy with their stories and their Dvar Torahs, and it's going to take hours and hours, we're going to miss Chatzos. And Reb Shalom Shvadron noticed that Reb Pesach Kron was trying to rush the proceedings, and he stopped him. He said, let it just run its natural course. And indeed, they missed Chatzos. Reb Pesach Kron felt terrible. And Reb Shalom explained to him afterwards, he says, to eat afikoman before Chatzos is not halacha, it's a chumrah. He says, your mother is an almana, she's a widow. To hurt her feelings, that would be a deraisa. She's prepared so hard for the Seder, she wants to enjoy the company of her family. Who am I, because of my chumrah, who am I now to rush her Seder and not allow her the nachas that she's prepared for? That's an issue of deraisa. My chumrah can't override that deraisa. Very, very beautiful, but a very important story. It's all very fine and well to be machmir, but if a chumrah is misplaced, then actually you might well lose more than you gain. Okay, let's look at the Gemara. My timer, the Rabban Gamliel. What is the reason behind Rabban Gamliel? Rabban Gamliel said that he's allowed to bathe on the first night of Avelus because he was an Istne. Says the Gemara, Kosovar Aninus Laila Derabotum. Because he holds the Aninus of Laila is only Midrabonon. Diksiv, because it is said, it is written, it's a pasuk in Omos, V'acharisa K'yoyim Mar. There is a day of bitterness, which means on the first day when a person is nifta, then the aminos may well be do'iraisa, but it's only bayoyim. Whereas when it comes to laila, it's no longer do'iraisa, it's only midrabonon. Therefore, if it's only midrabonon, ubamokoyim istanis, when a person is of delicate nature, lo gozru be'rabonon. So it sounds like if Aninus on the first night would have been min ha-tayrah, then indeed he would never have permitted it. The only reason he permitted it was because he maintained that it's only the first day that is deraisa, but the night is drabonon. And if it is drabonon, then there's more room for leniency. Look at Rashi. On the top, Kosovar Aninus Laila Midrabono, is only Midrabono. Va'afal Pisha Hoyo Leil Yoim Amisa, even though it was the actual night following the day of the death. V'ksiva Aninus Bo'iraisa, and the concept of Aninus is written in the Torah where Diksiv loyochalti ba'oini mimenu. What does oini mean, aninus? There it's talking about vidui maestros. A person confesses He makes a declaration that he never ate Maaser Sheni whilst being an Oinein. So you see that the concept of an Oinein is a Torah concept. For example, you're not allowed to eat Kochim, you're not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni in that time. Nonetheless, Upochais miyom echad, Einoi Aninus. How long is Aninus for? It can't be less than a day. The Yalfi Rabbonon, because the Rabbonon derived from the Pasuk Nachriso Kiyoim Mar. There is a day of bitterness. Nonetheless, Kosovar Rabban Gamliel, Ein Laila Shal Acharov Im Hayoim. The night afterwards does not follow the day. Elamid Rabbonon, rather, it is only Mid Rabbonon, Kishar Yimei Ha'evel, just like all the other days of Avelus. Therefore, even though it's true the first day may well be Doiraisa, but the night following the day, even if it's less than 24 hours, it doesn't matter. Once you get to the night, that's considered the following day, as we know in all of Jewish halacha. Therefore, the gabe istanis loigazu bo rabbonon. Therefore, with regard to an istanis, there is room for leniency because you're only dealing with what Rabbi Gamliel considered Eder Rabbonon. Says Rashi in conclusion, I must tell you the truth. Pluktayu de Tanoi hi bezvachim. It's actually a machloikus Tanoim in Zvachim, but Aninas Laila imidai Raisa imid Rabbonon. So says Rashi, don't think that what we're learning in our Gemara now is straightforward, because it's not. It is actually a subject of a discussion. There are those Tanoim, in fact, who hold that Aninus on the first night is Doiraisa, but Rabban Gamliel did not hold that way. Rabban Gamliel maintained that Aninus is only Doiraisa on the first day, not on the first following night. That's only the Rabbanon, and if it's only the Rabbanon, there is room for leniency for an Istanis. Now, it's quite clear in the Gemara that the only reason that he was makel was because what? Because Aninus, in his opinion, in the first night is Rabbonon. But were it to be Doiraisa, then he would have never have been lenient. Now, one second. What is actually the halacha on Aninus on the first day, which we are considering Doiraisa? So Rashi just quoted a pasuk, Lo yochalti ba'oini, you're not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni. So certainly eating Maaser Sheni and also Kochim is absolutely osur min ha-Torah in a state of aninus on the first day. Is rechitza osur min ha-Torah on the first day? It sounds like in our Gemara that it's osur, and that's why he couldn't possibly be lenient if Aninus would be the Raisa. And the only reason why he allowed himself to be lenient, because on the first night, his opinion is Aninus is Drabonon. But look at Tosfos. Says Tosfos, Aninus Laila Drabonon. The Imtoima, what's going on? Vahare Oinein Nami Einoin Noyeg Elob Maisa. The halachas of Aninus actually only apply to Maisa. That's the pasuk we just read, Lo yochalti bo'ini. Avol le'inyan rechitza, the avelos, the rabbonon hu. But with regard to rechitza, it's only ever an issa de rabbonon, even in a time of Aninus de'iraisa, in which case, the imkain. If that's the case, la oilam, why can't I say emelacho? I will say to you, the aninos laila doiraisa have a gabamaisa. So why did the Gemara have to say that he maintains that aninos in the night is the rabbonon, which, as Rashi told us, is a machlekas tanoim? Why couldn't he say that? No. You're quite right that Aninus in the night is actually min ha-Torah, but that does not include Rechitza. Rechitza is always at worst, and it's a drabonon. So either way, rechitza is drabonon. So why does the Gemara have to say aninus is drabonon? Let's say aninus is doiraisa, but that only precludes eating maisa. But rechitza is still only an issa drabonon, therefore you can permit it for an istanis. No. The e-isa, the havadairaisa, gamba maisa. If you would have held that at the night is minatoira, at least with regard to maestras, then gabishar dvorim de rabbonon, then so too with regard to other isurim, even if they're only de rabbonon, hava lon lemigzar. And we should have outlawed those as well, the kol de tikkun rabbonon, because everything the rabbonon will misakein ke'en, Deiraisa tikkun, the masakan similar to the deiraisa, which means it's true that on the first day, rechitza is only a derabonon. Even if aninus is deiraisa, rechitza is only a derabonon. Only achilas maisa is deiraisa. But in a time of deiraisa, we equate derabonons to deiraisas. That's the famous halachic principle. Called the tikkun rabbonon, ken deraisa tikkun. If aninus is essentially only a derabbonon, then indeed there's more room for leniency because the whole concept is only derabbonon because there is no aninus deraisa at the moment. But if aninus is really deraisa, then even those isurim of derabbonon, we would give them, as it were, deraisa status, which means we give them deiraisa status, there'd be no room for leniency even for an istanis. Therefore, the only way we could be makel for an istanis is to say that aninus during the night is only derabbonon, which means there is zero deiraisa element to it. If there is no deiraisa aspect to it whatsoever, then we could be makel in drabonons.
Does aninus... Sorry. Now, does aninus for multiple days still maintain the status of deraisa?
That's a very, very good question. Firstly, you have to know that we pask in the halacha that aninus is not deraisa. And even if it is, there's a discussion how long it could last for. If somebody passes away today and for whatever reason they cannot carry out the kavura for a week, does that mean he's an oinin for a week, deraisa? The whole big discussion. But either way, that answers Tosis Kasha. The only way Rabban Gamliel could be Makel was because he held that Aninus is indeed only Drabonon, so that there's no Deiraisa aspect or element to it. Were it to be a Deiraisa, then we would have been Machmeh even on the Drabonon parts. Okay, we'll hold it over here. As Hashem will continue tomorrow, the next Sugya with regard to an Eved of Tovi.
Shkoach. Have a good day. Yeah.